it's nice to be able to just get the plane, go do what you want to do, come back, no questions asked, not having to check with an instructor.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wonderful?
Welcome to the In the Pattern Podcast. Make left traffic, clear for the option.
Minneapolis departure, Archer 641, Charlie 2000, climbing 3000.
Line up and wait, 7 range, 4 Mike Alpha.
Mark Tower 172, Romeo Hotel, holding short on the 133, ready to take off.
Albert Delta, about to make it 2-1 Mike, and it downwind for runway 25.
I'm John.
I'm Chris.
I'm Brad.
And I'm Mark.
And we are the In the Pattern Podcast.
Okay, welcome to episode 29 of the In the Pattern Podcast. Guys, we got a ton of recent flights to talk about and some general things basically going on in aviation. But before we get into all that, let's take a minute to just introduce ourselves. First off, we got John Conway. John, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, not too much. Just kind of enjoying the beginning of summer and loving talking with you guys again.
Yeah, summer starts tomorrow, I believe.
Yeah, my brother's birthday too, so.
Oh, really?
All right. Good start to the summer. Gets finally 18.
Oh, all right, an adult. My daughter.
Now I got to teach him to fly.
Yeah, definitely. Excellent. Next up on, we got Brad Kane. Brad, how's things in the north central part of the U.S.?
It's great. Summer is on a weekend this year. We're really happy. The snowmobiling is lousy, but. Other than that, no, things are pretty good. Getting ready for the big show in Oshkosh and
yes.
Gonna start doing a little pattern work to make sure I can try to put it on the dot and, do a little IFR work and just having fun.
Excellent. Excellent. Great. Next, we got, Mark Lacoste on the West Coast living the life in NorCal. You ready for some summer flying with that shiny new ticket?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Got a little bit to talk about with that shiny new ticket, but we'll get to that later. But yeah, the weather's been beautiful. It's actually starting to get warm, so I might have to join your club and start evening flying.
There you go. And finally, I'm Chris Holub coming to you from sunny Arizona, where we've already had several days of temperatures over 110. And like I said, tomorrow, June 21st, is the first official day of summer. Not sure what that means to us, but I know it means more night flying for me and less day flying. I think I'm out of the day flying business. I'm just not interested. So,
when does night happen for you?
A little past 8 o'clock, I guess. Well, yeah, around 8-ish.
Yeah, because we can't do FAA night flying until about, a little after 10.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, you do observe daylight savings, though, too, which Chris doesn't.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So, that makes sense.
Yeah, that is right. Actually, I don't – I flew last Friday at night for the first time, and – I have to check. I don't exactly remember what time we took off, but we were scheduled for the plane for 8, and I don't think we got out to the plane till like 8:40 or whatever. But it was pitch black by then. I'm not sure exactly how much after civil twilight it was, but I'm counting this night as far as I know. Anyways, now I think we've had some things on the list to talk about. Like some flights that at this point are now maybe a month or two since the last episode that we dedicated to Mark's talking about passing his check ride. And by the way, if you haven't listened to that episode, you should go back and check that one out. And or the previous episode for that matter. Anyway, so we just really haven't got to all the things on our list that we've been kind of building up. So basically, without further ado, I think let's have at it. One of the first things I just wanted to talk about was Open Airplane. Congrats to those guys. It's officially open for business. I've been seeing stuff all over the web about it, which is great. I see basically that they've already got their first six operators. One in New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, San Jose, Kissimmee, Detroit. You know, I was looking back in my email when the first time I signed up for Open Airplane, it was October 2011. So I'm really happy for those guys, and I really hope it like gets some huge traction and starts really taking off this year.
Yeah, I am so glad that this is finally they finally gotten this out. I know I've been working on it for a long time. I mean, I can remember back in Oshkosh in 2011 when Rod was kind of throwing around the idea and talking to people at the show.
Right.
So to see that actually out now is awesome. And I know he's got a lot more operators they're working on getting on the list. And I'm definitely officially signed up as a member, even though I can't currently fly due to my lack of a BFR and also my lack of rental insurance at the moment. But which you do actually have to have rental insurance in order to participate in Open Airplane, which I think is a great idea on their part, you know, for you know, the insurance requiring that and all that. It's actually a good thing to have anyway, and I'm looking to do that. But I'm so happy that it's finally up. And I tell you what, Adam Fast has done an amazing job at making that site look awesome.
Yeah, it does have a really, really good look to it. And I'm gonna hit up the couple of places I rent from and let them know about it if they don't already, and just see what we can do to, you know, do our jobs as good stewards of just, you know, being aviation nuts and pilots, and just, you know, getting out there and letting people know about it.
Yeah, and for anybody who does know of a flight school, wants their flight school to get in touch with Open Airplane and wants them to really become part of this awesome movement, I do know the URL is operators at operators.openairplane.com. So you can hand that URL out and get the operators kind of in touch with the guys over there, so we can grow this network and turn it into something incredibly awesome.
The regular URL for that, by the way, if you haven't already found it, is http://pilots.openairplane.com.
So I believe you can just go to openairplane.com.
You can, too. Yeah, it'll take you back to that, but I think that's the true URL, right? I'm not sure. When you go to Open Airplane, I think it puts pilots.openairplane in front of it. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, well.
Either way.
Either way, definitely check that out. Sign up.
I think when we get out to Oshkosh, we'll have to get an official update and get Rod on the podcast, do a little quick update with him.
Yeah, we'll have to bring him back because we did have him on when they first announced it, which was a great episode. And we'll have to talk with him again. So anyways, Chris, I heard you went to the Caribbean.
Dude, so much fun.
I heard you went to that beach, that famous beach for AvGeeks.
The AvGeek beach of all beaches, Maho Beach in St. Martin. And it's just like all those videos you've seen, it's just like that. We went on a cruise, left Fort Lauderdale and did a 7-day cruise, went over to Nassau, Bahamas, St. Thomas, and then St. Martin. And everybody asked me, what was your favorite thing? And expecting me to say the St. Martin, and believe me, super high on the list. But snorkeling in St. Thomas at a shipwreck area with my family, that was a huge fun too. But anyways, back to aviation. Yeah, the Eastern Caribbean cruise is incredible. St. Martin, really neat. Maho Beach is on the Dutch side of St. Martin. St. Martin's kind of split. Part of it is the French and the other part is the Dutch side. So it's just incredible. We got there about 10:30 in the morning, and you'll see, and you've seen the pictures, you've seen videos, there's a little bar and grill that's on the side of the beach, and they have a surfboard in the ground with basically all the times of all the flights that are coming in that's supposed to land, all the major ones anyways. So that was cool. We were just sitting there just having some beverages, sitting back, enjoying the beach and watching the planes come and go, and people trying to fence surf as planes are taking off.
You have the sense to not do that.
No, I was there with the camera, and I was on the fence, standing on the fence on the guardrail portion of it, holding on, but I was to the right of any kind of jet blast, kind of videoing and taking pictures of these knuckleheads. a few of the big planes would come around to get lined up, and as they come around, they'd have their windows open, waving to everybody, you know, because you're just right there in front of them. And they get the plane all lined up, and this one guy in an MD-80, MD-80s are super loud anyways, but he gets there and then brake stands it at full power for, I don't know, at least 10 seconds just to hammer the people behind him before releasing the brakes.
that's a little mean.
Yeah.
Just a little.
People go,
at least the engines on an MD-80 are up high.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Very what, cool planes, yeah.
What's the coolest plane that you saw land there?
The coolest one was the one everybody was waiting for, and that was the Air France Airbus A340 that came in, the big four-engine Airbus. And everybody was waiting to see that. I was hoping to get that KLM 747 that you see land there a lot, and I went on like weeks before we were going to go see if I could find the schedule. And I found it, and it said that it shows up on Thursdays and Sundays. I'm like, perfect. I'm there on a Thursday. And I get there, and sure enough, it's not on the schedule. So I guess it's not every Thursday, unfortunately, because that's what I was really hoping to see. But that big Airbus is cool. And it's funny, you look out, you know, towards the ocean, nothing. Then all of a sudden, you see a twinkle of a light. You know, you see that landing light, and then sure enough, here it comes, and you're like, oh, here it comes, here's the Airbus. No, 737. Oh, here it is, Airbus. Oh. No, MD-80. I mean, from way far out, they all look like giant.
Oh, no, airplanes, it's just another airplane that's only, you know, 5 feet from me.
Yeah, literally.
So
like,
sad.
I think it must be like 50 feet over the tops of your heads when they're landing. It's something else, let me tell you.
I never thought about it. They must have to ship in a heck of a lot of jet fuel to be able to top those things off so that they can depart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's nothing shipping-wise, cargo-wise, on that side of the beach that's a port for any kind of
tanker. There's no harbor.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Where we came in on the French side is where we ported, and then we had like a 20-minute taxi ride over to the beach on the other side. So, yeah.
Wow.
What you don't realize is that they're taking off with the same fuel they came in with.
Yeah, no.
Just enough to get home.
Yeah, there was a little bit of everything. Maybe I have a good amount of those pictures up on my Flickr account, so we can put that in the show notes and people can check it out if they want to. I've got pretty much all the cool planes listed and so forth. So anyways, yeah, that was a lot of fun. I could go back and spend a good couple of days there. And while I was there, I met another podcaster. So shout out to him. And he was, what was he? He did a podcast called, JPEG to RAW, I believe it is. So it was good meeting up with him, and of course, Av Geeks everywhere with cameras left, right, and center. I was totally in my element, and it was really nice of my family just to, you know, it might not be their thing, but they knew it was my thing, and they just chilled out with me, and they actually had a great time too. The girls hung out on the beach and went swimming, and the water is just crystal clear blue. We went snorkeling. You could see down for, I don't know, 50 feet or whatever. It was incredible.
You can go more than that.
Yeah, as far as you could see. I don't know. It was,
because I've been diving in that kind of area, 90 feet, and you can still see, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can see down that far, definitely. It's crazy.
Yeah. So, anyways, good times for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Hey, next up, let's shoot it over to you, John. You got to make it out to Sun and Fun 13. What was that like?
Dude, I finally made it. I've been trying for 3 years. 3 years to make it to Sun and Fun.
And you're the closest one to it from all of us. I don't know if I'll
ever make
it.
Yeah, it's not much of a haul for you.
And I finally, yeah, well, you know, say that to me that night after we got down there. But finally made it after 3 years, and of course, you know, it's the 1 year where it's 2 weeks after, you know, I get married. Actually, three. It was 2 weeks after we came back from the honeymoon, and my wife is amazing for letting me go down for that. but yeah, so I finally made it down. I mean, we had it's about 16 hours down there. We might have done it a little shorter. It's not that much shorter than me getting to Oshkosh, actually. They're very comparable. I think it's a little shorter to get to Florida.
Wow.
But, yeah, we made it down there, and actually me and a buddy drove down. He was going to visit some friends somewhere in between Lakeland and Orlando. And so he drove down with me. He hung out with the friends for a couple days, and then he picked me back up, and, you know, we drove home. So, you know, we got down there. I want to say Wednesday or Thursday. I honestly don't remember what day it was. I don't even remember how long I was down there. It was one of those things, you know, I just kind of got down there. We got to the campsite. Once we finally found it, I dumped all my stuff. 5 minutes later, I got Carl Valeri borrowing headphones from me. Chris, aviation junkie, you know, with him. And he's like, I'll be back for you in 10 minutes. And next thing I know, he's back for me with a golf cart, and I'm getting shipped off to the radio station. So it was one of those things where I just didn't have any time to rest. You know, I was put to work right away. But I had a blast down there. It's a very different air show from Oshkosh. I think I said a little bit of this last episode. We touched a little bit, but it's very different. It's definitely smaller. It's a little more personal, I want to say. You know, it's just because of it's smaller and just it's a little bit of a different feel. It's still an air show. You know, you still get that feel, but it's definitely different. I had a blast though. It's since it's not as big, I think you can hit the show in about 2 days, maybe three. It doesn't take the whole week like Oshkosh. I mean, you know, you go for the whole week. There's still so many things you haven't seen. You know, and the same is kind of true, I think, with Son of Fun. But you can definitely hit a large majority, especially on a golf cart, of the of the field. But
I heard with the rearrangement of everything and Paradise City and so forth, they made it a little bit more convenient and conducive to get around easier.
Yeah, I know they did do a paved roadway out to Paradise City. And, I mean, this being my first year, I don't know what to compare it all to.
Right.
Which is kind of weird. But we did make it out to Paradise City for one of our live Other People's Airplane shows. And that was actually really cool because we were there during the air show. So, you know, one of the things they've been talking about all year with Sun and Fun was that during the air show this year, they were not – the Paradise City was not closed. They were able to fly through the air show.
If I had a plane there and that was allowed, you know, and I was those guys, I'd be up in the air. I'd love to see some air show while I was actually in the air space with those guys. I think that'd be awesome.
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, they had, you know, I look behind me and there's, you know, some guys doing an air show. And then, you know, I look in front of me and there's a gyrocopter kind of doing pattern work. You know, it was really cool.
Yeah, especially if you're in one of those ultralights with open cockpits and you have practically an unlimited, unrestricted view, you know, how cool would that be?
Oh, yeah, it was cool. So, and they had all kinds of stuff down there. And, you know, it wasn't only the ultralights and the gyrocopters and helicopters and stuff, you know. I mean, they're also doing light sport out of there now, too, which was cool, so... Yeah, some of the other stuff, I mean, I was really, really busy while I was down there. You know, I was working mornings at the radio station doing editing. And let me tell you, Carl Valeri, man, he can put away some interviews.
Did he break his record?
I think he did break his record from last year. Also, I know at one point he went through the JetBlue Airbus came in, right? So right. him and Robert Sigliano go through the thing. They start at the front and they go to the back. By the time they've reached the back of the airplane, Carl had, I believe, 10 interviews.
Yeah.
Brand new interviews.
I heard about that on their podcast.
I'm like, are you kidding me? He comes back. He's like, they kind of kicked me off doing interviews. He's like, they want me to just do live now because I'm just producing too much. Because we couldn't keep up with half the, you know, I mean, we're sitting there editing away and we just could not keep up with the input of interviews. It was crazy.
He must have been in that plane for 2.5 hours or three.
Yeah, I don't know how long they were. They were actually gone for a good while that morning. But yeah, so I was doing you know, editing for the radio station in the morning, and then in the afternoons we were doing the live shows with other people's airplanes. So you know, sometime around noon or so, you know, Dave Allen comes in and back to the radio station, you know, and then it's off to shipping gear and stuff and setting up that setup and everything, and which I tell you, has a lot of gear, but that was really cool. I really hope that, cause I know Chris, you were watching. So I really hope you guys liked the live shows. I know we at least are doing Oshbash at Oshkosh. We're doing a live stream for that, and hopefully some other stuff, but I'm not sure. That's kind of up in the air right now. But yeah, I really do hope people enjoyed them, because I tell you what, it was a lot of work.
It was good stuff, definitely. Yeah.
So on top of that, you know, working through a lot of show, there was a couple of really cool points. One of them was the day I got down there. Actually, I did get down there Wednesday, and so I finally got to meet Will Hawkins for the first time, and he came down, and he happened to have a rough cut of a very popular upcoming movie that I happened to may or may not have seen.
How's that coming along?
Really well, actually. It was really cool. I tell you what, if you're not excited for this movie, you should be. Pilot Story. Not sure when it's going to be done, but he's put a lot of work into it, and I am so excited for that to come out. He's done such a good job. I mean, it is just, it is insane. You know, some of the camera work and some of the stuff they've done. So can't say much more than that, but be excited for it, because it is awesome. So we got to see that, which was just one of the highlights. I mean, I wasn't expecting that. And then to get to see it was just so cool. Also, the Gathering of Aviation Podcasters. I almost missed it, honestly. Dave and Chris went to the radio station, and me and Mike Ladd were back at the campsite, and we're just hanging out. And we're like, man, it's taken Dave a long time to get back. So he gets in the car, and he's like, oh, I figured it out. He's on the radio. And I was like, oh, he's on the radio. I guess he got pulled in for something, right? I was like, yeah, whatever. So next thing I know, I'm like, man, they're still not back. So I start walking to the radio station. I'm like, I'll just meet them over there. I'm kind of bored at the campsite. I get there, and of course, it's the Gathering of Aviation Podcasters, which I had no idea was going on at that time. And Dave's like, oh, it's one more segment. You got to get on now. So for the second time that week, I was thrown on the radio within 3 minutes' notice. So that was great, because I did get the last segment with Carl Valeri and Dave. Which was pretty good. So that's all I listened to that, but hey, it was a blast. the only other thing I want to say for Sun and Fun right now is just apologies for only getting one daily out.
What do you call that?
Yeah, we noticed that.
What do you call that when your daily is just one day?
Yeah. Apologies for the day episode. It turns out I was doing a lot more work than I was expecting to down there. Since it was a very different show from Oshkosh, I was kind of prepared for the Oshkosh workload, which I still had time to do some of the episodes. I really didn't have time while I was down there. I was just so busy doing stuff. I mean, I didn't even tweet enough while I was down there. So, apologies for that. I'm going to have help at Oshkosh, because, I hear some of you are going.
Yay.
So, you guys are working. Did you know that?
Isn't that kind of a given?
We'll see about that.
Oh no, you're working.
I don't ever leave Camp Bacon. I don't know what you mean.
So yeah, just apologies for just getting the one out. I wanted to get more out, and I wanted to do another one at least when I got home to get something else out. But I mean, it was just, I was wading through all kinds of audio at the radio station and pictures and stuff. So I was able to at least get the pictures up on our Facebook page and on the Other People's Airplanes Facebook page. So at least people got some pictures out of it. But that's pretty much what I have for Sun and Fun. Like I said, I had a blast. It was great seeing everybody. Great. You know, there's so many people, you know, all of you guys that I only get to see a couple times a year. And it's so great to get to go to these events. You know, there's the bonus that there's airplanes on the field, but I mean, the whole reason that I keep going is just because it's so much fun to see everybody and hang out. And it's also a lot of fun to do some of these things, like, you know, other people's airplanes and the podcast and stuff like that. Although I don't get as much audio out, you know, I do a lot of work trying to get content out of these shows. So, I love doing it, and, it's great seeing everybody and getting to do this stuff. So,
yeah,
I had a blast.
Sure. For sure. Was it fun getting the hang of the new camera?
Yes, it was. I'm definitely getting the hang of it. obviously with all the pictures at Sun and Fun, you know, I'm starting to figure out what's a good shot and what's not and that kind of stuff. And getting used to importing in aperture and all that. Took a whole bunch of pictures this week too at Pilot Day, which I'll talk about a little later. So
cool. I took 2,500 on the cruise.
Oh man. That's a lot of card. Do you shoot in RAW or JPEG?
Both. I do JPEG plus a RAW.
Oh, that's even more. Damn. Mm-hmm. I shoot in RAW. And I got 1,200 per 32 gig card. And I tell you what, I was having to offload every day at Sun and Fun. What people saw was not even close to what I took.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, so I'm excited to use the Oshkosh rental lens or something. But, cool. Yeah. So that was pretty much Sun and Fun. So, Mark, I heard you went flying on Saturday.
Yeah, just a quick and short and easy. I was at, I finally got my medical renewed, and then I sat on it for about, I didn't realize that it had expired until I pulled it out of my wallet and went, oh, crap, I got to go get my medical redone. So I went and I scheduled that, and it's actually really slick for those that are still on the old system. Now you just register everything online and print it out, take it to your AME, and it's quick and easy and painless. Go ahead.
I had a quick question about that. So you did your first medical with the paper, right, beforehand?
Correct. Yeah, now, they just switched it over, I think, in the last 6-8 months.
So with the switch over, did it automatically have all of your information there, or did you have to refill it all in?
I had to fill it all back in. For me, it was actually, since it was my first true third-class medical, not as a student, I had to fill all that stuff out for the first time anyway. But once it's in there, it's in there. And he actually was able to type in my number, and it pulled up the whole form, and he checked it and added some comments and did his digital signature, printed it out, hand signed it, and here you go. Have a great day.
Did you have any other stuff to report?
No.
Okay.
No, mine's pretty straightforward. I mean, 46, and I'm just, you know, overweight. That's about that. And I wear glasses when I read, but, so that's the only stipulation I have on my certificate my medical is that I have to, must have glasses available for near vision. So, but that's the only stipulation I have.
So glad I got mine done before I was 40.
I have a whole comment about the having to wear glasses now. It stinks, but, anyway, as far as I got my medical done, and then, like I said, I sat on it for about a month, and it was just a matter of timing. Then I pulled up my logbook the other day just to kind of look at it, flipping through it and going, and I looked at the last day that I flew, and I was like, wait a minute, let me do some numbers. So it ended up being, I think, 83 days or something like that. I was like, all right, let's go do some currency, and just went up, grabbed the plane, and I took Haley with me, and we'd originally scheduled it to pick up the plane, fly down to, for those in the area, I was going to go from Auburn to McClellan, former McClellan Air Force Base. It's a nice big 10,000-foot runway. Used to be a big logistics command base, depot maintenance and stuff. But we have the Coast Guard is there, and there's a couple of civilian outfits that are there. But they have a very nice it's a McClellan Jet Center, I think is what it is. It's a really nice FBO there. And I have family that live in that area, so I was going to have my mom and or my oldest daughter meet me at the FBO. I was going to fly in, pick them up, and go out and give a tour of Sacramento or something like that. And then best laid plans – my wife says to me the night before, Haley, are you ready for your college showcase soccer thing at the school tomorrow? And we're both looking at each other like, what? So we forgot about that. So I had to reschedule the flight for the afternoon. And then it turned out to be probably the second or third hottest day of the year so far. So it was hot. It was bumpy. But it was fine. It was flying. It was great. I'll just say that. Did a few touch and goes, a couple full stops just to get comfortable again. Then we went out and flew around the local area, went over Folsom Lake, and Haley took some pictures. And when she wasn't flying, I actually gave her the control once we were over the lake. The lake is also our local practice area, so nobody else was out there. So we let her do some turns and some, just to get comfortable, and she had a great time. And then all of a sudden, I think the heat started to hit her, and she's like, can we go back now? It's like, okay, no problem. So
emergency descent.
We were only at about, I think we were at 3,500 feet, 3,000 feet out there over the lake. So yeah, it was, and our pattern altitude is 2,500 feet. So yeah, there was no descent. I wanted to, but we were actually better at altitude. Just, it was a little bit cooler. So I just kind of, I bumped the throttle up and we hustled back to the airport and, you know, got back in nice landing and put the plane away. But it was honestly nice just to get up. Exercise the privilege. I'll say that. Get up, exercise the privilege of aviation, and it's nice to be able to just get the plane, go do what you want to do, come back, no questions asked, not having to check with an instructor.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah,
still gonna do that.
I'll drink to that.
So, like I said, it was a quick and easy. The big plan to get my oldest daughter and my mom up, that's still there. We just have to get it scheduled. Anyway, that was pretty much it for me.
Cool.
Awesome. Cool. Well, before we go ahead and continue on with episode 29, let's go ahead and take a really quick break. So we'll be back with you in just a moment.
The members of the In the Pattern podcast are participating as private individuals. Their comments do not necessarily reflect the views of the various organizations they work with, the instructors they learn from, or the flight schools they attend. Remember, these guys are student pilots, so anything you hear on this podcast that sounds like advice on an aircraft operation is obviously from the perspective of student pilot. You should always consider your own situation, consult your instructor, remember your training, and fly the airplane. Cleared for the option.
All right, and we are back. Let's go ahead and continue with episode 29 of the In the Pattern podcast. So, Chris, you fly a ton. And you fly way too much.
Seriously,
you just make me so freaking jealous, because every time we talk, I know we only talk like every 5 months. I don't know, whatever. However often it takes me to edit these things. But seriously, every time you've got like 4 flights.
Well, I try and fly about once a month, and I don't know. That doesn't seem like a lot to me. It seems like it's just enough to keep the rust off type of thing for me. I mean,
again, from somebody who hasn't flown since last July.
I understand.
my logbook pro, or my log 10, shows 3 hours in the last year.
Does it notify you on your phone? Like, would you like to just uninstall this now? We've noticed you haven't used it recently.
No,
you're not
exercising
the privileges, are you?
Yeah.
Well,
and some of these people that we know on Facebook, they're just like, do they ever spend a day not flying? I wonder, anyways, yeah, I'm happy to be able to fly at least, once a month, and sometimes if I'm lucky more than once, but,
Tell us about some of those.
Yeah, I did a bunch of those Coolidge breakfast fly-ins while it was cool spring, I guess, and those are a lot of fun. It's like, I don't know, like 100 pilots just descend upon this old airport and hang out and have good, pancake breakfast that's put on by the Lions Club, so that's a good time. I had my buddy Dean come this last time that I went, but he flew his own plane, his Cessna 140 down there, so that was cool. When he took off, I was out on the runway and had my camera, so I snapped some good photos of him. And I have this when I bought my camera, I had this Canon Pixma 9000 printer that came with it, and it prints like 14 by 19, huge prints, and so I made him a nice print and had it framed and gave it to him over dinner with him and his wife and my wife one night, so something for his hanger. And he's like, oh, I don't know if I can put this in my hanger. I think it's going in the house. So I had an extra one, so I gave him an extra one the other day that I had printed off that I didn't like as much, so he'd have one for the hanger. So the Coolidge breakfast fly-ins are a lot of fun. I mentioned Neil last podcast, pilot underscore NGB, Neil and I flew up to Payson last month, May 11th, and this was basically his last flight in Arizona before he moved out of state. So it was a lot of fun flying up there with him. I was just sitting right seat, and he had never flown to Payson, and I've been to Payson a bunch of times, so I helped him navigate and radio and whatnot, and we got in and out of Payson, had good breakfast, and it's just a good place to fly. It's only 50 miles from Deer Valley. He's coming in from Chandler, so it's a little bit more of a flight for him, but it was good times. What else? Oh, my daughter, Christina, graduated high school last month, so we had a graduation party, and a bunch of my family came out. So I took my sister, one of my uncles, and one of my aunts that was here up for a flight, and so that was fun. I asked my mom, but she didn't want to go. She was like, "No, I'm not going with you and my sister Kelly at the same time." So she kind of has the same rules like my wife does, like I can't take both girls on a flight, or I can't just take her. So my mom was a little iffy about that, but so I ended up getting to take a flight, like I said, with my sister, my one of my uncles, one of my aunts, and we just took off out of Deer Valley, and we headed for Phoenix, crossed the Phoenix Bravo, and then did all the major airports on the way back. Went over top of Williams Gate, or went over top of Chandler, and then Williams Gateway, Falcon Field, Scottsdale, and then back to Deer Valley. Just kind of a great big loop, and it's a lot of fun because I like the radio work, so it's fun transitioning aerospaces for me. So that was fun, and just recently, last Friday, I did my night flight. Like I was saying, it's just too darn warm out here, so I'm doing night flights from now on throughout summer. I don't know if I'll fly too much during the day or not. So my buddy Franz, who I've talked about before. Franz and I both rent this Cessna 172 out of Glendale Airport, and I texted him. I was like, "Hey, I want to go do a night flight." He goes, "Oh, I haven't flown night in a while either." So he's like, "Let's go Friday." I'm like, "Okay." So it had both been several months since we flown night, so he arranged it, and he went up and did his three landings and came back, and I did my three landings, and we took off and flew together. And here's the funny thing. So we finally, like I said, we took off around, it was a little after 9 o'clock, I guess, that we finally flew together. And he's into cars. Are you guys familiar with the Ariel Atom?
Oh my God, yes. Oh my God, yes. Top Gear.
Yes, the Ariel Atom. So he's the Arizona representative for Ariel Atom. So if you want to buy an Ariel Atom, he's your guy around here. So, anyways, I've got to drive in one with him. They're a lot of fun. He's got one getting built right now with a supercharger in it. That's just ridiculous, suck your face off type of power. Anyways, so he used to have a 2013 Ford Mustang Shelby GT 500. Cobra, and he sold
one of those last week.
Yeah, so he sold his. He's got a 14 coming now, but he has another friend who's got a 13, and he heard his friend was going to be racing a Corvette Z06 out at Sun Valley Parkway, which is just I live on a road called Bell Road, or off of Bell Road roughly, and where Bell Road, you go out west, and you pass White Tank Mountains, and basically it turns into this Sun Valley Parkway. He heard that they were going to be racing, so we get up and we start heading that way, and we see these two pairs of Xeon lights together, and we're like, there they are. So we circle overhead, and he's flying, and I've got Franz's cell phone in my hand, and I'm texting back and forth to the guy in the Mustang, going, "Are you guys ready yet? Are you going to be racing? We're over top now." He goes, "Oh, I see you." So we watched them race against each other from the air.
That's awesome.
You should have just jumped in.
I know.
Should have overflown them.
Exactly. Flow right over them.
I win.
Either one of those cars would smoke the 172.
Not in a dive.
Yeah, maybe. Well, yeah. But both of those cars could come near 200 miles an hour. The wings come off of the 172, I think, at about 170. But
no, they don't come off until a little higher than that. That's just VNE.
Just don't do it on a turbulent day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. And then we Then we flew back to Glendale, and we switched seats, and then I took the plane, and we went and crossed Phoenix into the Bravo transition, which was cool. That is, it's the most gorgeous sight at night. First of all, night flying is just amazing, especially if you live in a populated city, and when you're up, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 feet, and it just lights, you know, dots forever. It's cool. And when you see a big black area, that's a mountain. So don't go there. Stay away from that piece.
Those are just trees around here.
Stay over top of the lighted area, and you're in good shape. So we did the Phoenix transition, and the controller was like, Cessna 811, what do you want to do when you get on the other side? You need flight following. I said, nah, I'm just going to, you know, head out south a little bit further, U-turn it, and come back. He goes, all right, just stay on this frequency and get with me when you're ready. And I was like, okay. So I went out about 8-9 miles, turned it around, came back, hollered at him. And he clears me through the Bravo. He goes, what altitude do you want? I'm like, really? You're giving me the option? This is the first time ever they've asked me. I'm like, well, I'm at 5,000, so I'm good here. He's like, okay, cleared through the you know, Phoenix class Bravo east transition at 5,000. And so I head that direction. And then he said, are you just going to turn around and come back the other way again? I go, no, I'm just going to head over to Glendale after this. He goes, oh, well, if you want, you can, you're clear direct Glendale if you want. So over top of the airport, I just peeled off and went towards Glendale. He told me to climb to 6,000, but that was cool. So I didn't have to go all the way to the other side and then make a 90-degree turn, yada, yada, yada. So a lot of fun. I love night flying, and I'm now scheduled for this Saturday night to do another night flight. So good times. What else? What else? That's about it for me for flying.
So Chris, I got a quick question for you. As far as your night flying, were you current when you started doing this? Or did you need to throw your instructor in?
No. I wasn't current, but I was only a few months out. You don't need an instructor to get current, though.
Okay.
As long as
you weren't night current, right? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
You were current to fly, but not night current.
Right.
But I should have been clearer.
So you're asking what night currency, right?
Night currency, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm allowed to go do 3 stop and goes by myself and then say I'm night current, right?
Correct. Three to a full stop.
That's right. So that's what each one of us did. And then we flew with each other. That didn't take long.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Were you thinking that we were flying together while we were doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry if I was a little unclear about that. Yeah, so that's what I meant by he did his 3 and then I did my 3. My three landings to a full stop, and he did his 3. We did it separately, and then we got in and left together.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, good times. Looking forward to it. It's you know, there's no turbulence. The air is calm, and it's at least, you know, in the 80s at 4,000 or 5,000 feet instead of still 100 degrees on the ground.
Yeah.
Ugh. Is there awful. A fair amount of turbulence from all of the just heat radiation, heat coming off of the off of the ground?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and during the day it's just ridiculous.
This is the time of year here where we've got the air is just ridiculously unstable. It's unpleasant to fly because there's just cumulus clouds everywhere and there's water evaporating up and we actually have sun, you know, and it's heating things and it just if you're going to fly in the morning or fly at night because it's everything's stable and great, but it sounds like you're not even getting real stable air even at night because of the there's so much heat coming off the ground.
Oh, no, well, that's what I'm saying. At night it's a ton better.
Okay.
There's the difference is like night and day.
I see what you did there.
But I'm pumped. during the day, after about 10 o'clock in the morning, it's not enjoyable. I mean, you went and flew and that's fun, but if you're constantly being bounced around like a ping pong ball inside the cabin of that plane, I don't like it. Plus I still get air sick and I've thrown up like 5 or 6 times, you know, either as a passenger or the pilot now.
Cheese steaks.
Yeah. Cheese steaks.
Chocolate milk.
I've probably thrown up like $40 worth of food. after going to have a breakfast or a lunch somewhere and then losing it halfway back home. So I'm tired of that. You'd think I'd be over that by now. Anywho, John, were you at Pilot Day?
I was at Pilot Day.
Tell us about Pilot Day.
I heard about that
last year. And what's the name of that Udvar Hazy?
Udvar Hazy Center?
Why did it get named that?
Because he donated a crap ton of money to the Smithsonian.
All right, you win.
That'll do it.
Every time, doesn't matter what your name is.
Exactly. Well, he does own, like, the largest, like, airplane leasing company in the world, or he did and sold it, and then he built another one. I don't know. Dude's crazy. So, Pilot Day, awesome event at the Smithsonian. They do it at the Udvar Hazy Center. They've been doing it for the last 7 years, I believe. And essentially, it is – they do family days, like, every month, you know, where they let families come in and stuff like that. But this is the one family day they do, and it's always the day before Father's Day every year. And they get their entire ramp outside filled with airplanes, just filled. And these guys fly in, all right, all types of airplanes. I mean, Navions, Wacos, Stearmans, Skycatcher. There's a Cardinal, 182. You know, you've got some Cirrus there. The past couple of years, they had a lot of, military aircraft. They actually didn't this year for obvious reasons. But I mean, these guys, you know, they get a free pass to fly into Dulles for a day and, come in, show off their airplanes and get kids and people excited about aviation and hopefully get them to think, you know, I can be a pilot, and they get to talk to pilots and that kind of stuff. Plus, the museum's open, so you get to go see stuff in the museum. They have all kinds of activities in the museum. They have, you know, they had guys bringing in these, like, aviation Lego sets they did. You know, they got, like, rocket guys come in showing off their model rockets. All kinds of activities for kids throughout the museum. You've got, you know, people coming in and doing live radio shows. So you've got Milford and Charlie from Playtime Radio are there doing a radio show every year. You've got the Airplane Geeks in there doing a show. So just so many things to do, and it's so cool that they open up the entire museum to kids and families and then allow pilots to fly their planes in and just, you know, get people excited about aviation. It is so cool. So I get to go this year. Again, you know, I only live like an hour away, so I just try to go to this thing every year. And yet again, David Allen was able to make it up. This time he was, helped him shoot in video. Mike Ladd made it up. So awesome that he was able to fly in for the weekend. And then the three of us were, shooting video for Sennheiser Live Your Dream TV. Sennheiser is doing, basically an online video series, for the Live Your Dream campaign. So, you know, Live Your Dream does scholarships, does just a ton of money to get people, in aviation to get their license, to get flying and all that kind of stuff. So they're doing a TV series to back it. So we were interviewing people, you know, trying to get interviews of pilots and what got them excited about aviation and what got them into it. And, also talking to a few kids and, that kind of stuff. So, you know, we were working on shooting video throughout the day. And let me tell you, there's these two kids we interviewed. I mean, it was just the whole time we're sitting there interviewing them. And we're just sitting there just smiling the whole time. Because these kids, I mean, they knew their stuff. They had to be, I don't know, 9 or 12, you know, something like that in that range. You know, younger kids. And, you know, David's asking them questions. Well, what's your favorite airplane? And the one kid's like, the P-51D model.
Not just the P-51 Mustang.
Not just the P-51, not just the Mustang. The P-51D.
That's right.
And we're like, do they have one here? And he's like, well, he's like, they have this one here, but it's not the D model. It's this other model. And, you know, it's just not the same.
No.
And I'm just like looking at this kid like, oh, you got it.
He's hooked.
Oh, he is hooked. He is definitely hooked. So, I mean, it was just a great interview, but, you know, we had a blast going through and looking at, you know, again, I got to go up Friday. We actually went through the museum on Friday. You know, the event was on Saturday, and then we all went out to dinner Friday night. So I got to see the Airplane Geeks guys again. Got to see, meet the Flight Time Radio guys, all kinds of people. There was probably 20 people at Red Robin eating dinner together. I mean, it was just awesome. And, you know, all of these people are from all over the U.S. And it's so amazing that because of social media and podcasting and aviation, we're able to sit down and share a meal together and just geek out. It is awesome. And huge props to David Abbey, who I finally got to meet. I got to meet him and his mother, and that was just a blast getting to hang out with them at the museum and, you know, eat dinner with them. And he was actually part of the, I don't know if they're still calling it, if, Smithsonian's calling it a social now too, but it's the tweet up / social meetup thing that, they do at Pilot Day. I was actually part of the first one they did, 2 years ago or something like that. And, he was actually doing that with his mother, the next day, which was awesome. So yeah, that was kind of the event in a nutshell. I took a ton of pictures. I'm still kind of wading through those, so they may or may not make it into this, into the post for this episode. If they don't, they'll be on the Facebook page for sure. But again, just, you know, another event that I was so glad I got to see everybody and hang out and, just be around pilots and aviation again. It was awesome. It's what keeps me going, even though I haven't been flying. I also got, we got to interview, this couple who owns a Cardinal, and, I'm not going to lie. I think that might be the plane.
I like the 177. I love the Cardinal.
Yeah, it is beautiful, sexy, sleek.
Cardinal with retracts.
No, I don't need the retracts. Too much overhead on the insurance there. But seriously, you can still do 125 knots at 9 gallons an hour with the fixed gear. I mean, come on. That's just like, that's like the perfect. And you know what? They're not that expensive. I just found a one with 16 hours since major overhaul for $59.9.
Yeah, I've seen them less, you know, in the 30s, you know.
Doable with three people. Come on, doable with three people. Especially three, you know. Contractors, software engineering contractors. We can do this. Seriously. I just got to get the wife on board and do it before I have a kid. But seriously, I'm going to make this happen.
You'll never fly it after you have the kid, so.
That's all right. At least I'll have an airplane. Well, I don't fly now, so what's the difference?
You don't fly now because it's too expensive, and yet you want to buy an airplane.
There you go. Then you'll be forced to.
Then I'll be forced to pay for it, and I'll be like, well, I got it. I might as well go. Actually, I don't fly necessarily because of the cost. It's actually a lot of it's due to the just the hassle around here. And just the – it's just been a pain, and I've been frustrated, which is why I'm really glad about Open Airplane, and I really want to get my local flight school involved in that because I think that is something that would take out a lot of the hassle with renting. And, you know, I'm looking for anything that's gonna take out the hassle. But speaking of me not flying, there is one thing I want to go through before we finish up this episode. And I did go flying. I actually have flying-related content for an episode. I was not PIC, but I did go flying.
Back of the MD-80?
No, 172. And a friend of mine who... he's actually would be one of the people that would go on an airplane with me. But he calls me up on a Friday. He's like, what are you doing Saturday? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, I get an airplane. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, let's go. I was like, I'm there. I was like, do you really have to ask? I mean, just tell me when and where to show up and I'll be there, you know? So, you know, I get up. He was going on Saturday. He had the plane and, you know, we were meeting at like 12:30, something like that. So, we're texting in the morning because we're looking at the weather and we're both like, I don't know. You know, it was a high gray. There was the threat of just some scattered showers around. And we weren't too sure about the wind. It was okay, but the taff was looking a little weird. And we were like, I don't know. So we were planning to go from Fort Meade FME to York, Pennsylvania. So he kind of decided, he said, you know, I don't know. He's like, I think maybe we'll go to Frederick instead. It's a little closer. It's the runways are bigger, you know. So it's just I think a better flight for the weather. So he goes to the airport.
That's your old airport, right?
That's the airport I technically the last one I've flown out of is. Mm-hmm. No, FDK is not. I've flown there before. I used to fly out of Martin State.
Oh, Martin, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. So we were going to go up to Frederick. So, you know, we meet up at the airport. He gets his clearance from an instructor to go up. you know, okays the weather and all that. And, you know, we get up there and I had actually hit some rain driving in, but, you know, the visibility was high enough that, you know, we both felt it was fine. So we got up there and, you know, it wasn't too bad, but we started going north. And we get up to Route 70, which is actually right by my house, which is maybe halfway to Frederick. And we look over to Frederick, and we can't see it. There was a rainstorm that was in between us and Frederick that was actually dumping pretty hard. You know, we weren't near it yet, but we could tell. I mean, just the visibility went to like nothing, and we were just like, I don't know about this. So we you know, he made the decision. He's like, we're going back. So we turned back around, started going back, and, you know, we could see back behind us, but you could see just little showers here and there. I mean, it wasn't a lot, but you could see the little pieces of, you know, a rainstorm is here, you know, a rainstorm is over here, and you could easily dodge around them and everything. But, you know, we get back to around the airport, and then at that point, there was kind of a crosswind, and he was like, I'm not too comfortable with this, so we're not going to do the touch and goes I wanted to do. We're just going to get it on the ground and be done for the day. He's like, I'm not messing with this. So he gets it on the ground. It was an interesting landing.
An interesting landing, huh?
It wasn't bad. It's just, I can tell. It was an arrival. Yeah.
The plane was reusable afterwards.
It was definitely reusable, but, he didn't get the wing down enough when he went to do the come out of the crab, so it started drifting a little bit.
Side load a little bit. Yeah, there.
Yeah, I don't know so much about the side load as much as the I was like, you better watch it, you're gonna be on the grass in about 2 seconds. he wasn't that far over, but, you know, it wasn't completely lined up. It wasn't a bad landing. It was you know, considering
exciting.
The weather, it was exciting. Considering the weather conditions, the way that runway and the way that the trees are, it's not an easy landing, especially when you've got a gusty crosswind. So considering the conditions, it wasn't bad at all. But we got down and we talked about it, and it was one of those things where, number one, I was glad to get back in the air, but I was also glad to get the experience to fly in that type of weather, because it was one of those learning experiences where now, okay, I can see, number one, now I see what scud running is. We weren't doing it, but I can see how that's going to look now and what dodging weather is. Like, I have an understanding for it, and I don't want to do it.
That's why we get the instrument rating.
You know, like, that kind of stuff is starting to click, and it was just good to get that perspective on that kind of showery weather and the gray and just what it's like to wonder if you're going to get caught. You know, we were both felt, you know, the whole flight was pretty safe, and we were only up for 0.7 of an hour. And that was a lot of that was on the ground, but, still it was one of those things where, you know, we weren't comfortable with it and we made the decision to go back. And I think that was the right decision. But you know, it was, just a really good learning experience for us. So we didn't quite make it to Frederick, but it turns out 2 weeks later, I get an email from my friend, like on a Tuesday or something, or Wednesday, and he sends me an email at like 3 o'clock. He's like, I just got the airplane for 4:30. Want to go? And I'm like, you're just giving me an excuse to get out of work. Hell yeah. And on top of that, I get to go fly? No brainer. So we went up, and we actually did get to complete the flight this time. I mean, it was one of those things where it was a beautiful day, and he looked on the schedule, and it just so happened that somebody canceled at 4:30. And he's like, hell yeah. So we got the plane. It was gorgeous. It was crystal clear. It was smooth as could be. I mean, it was just perfect. You know, we took off. We went out to Frederick. We landed at Frederick. We went to Carroll County, Delta Mike Whiskey, did a touch and go there. And we weren't even planning to do a touch and go there. We were just kind of going out that way because we were trying to avoid P-40, but we were getting set up to go to Baltimore. And, you know, we looked down and we're like, oh, okay, so there's Carroll County. And he's like, it's really nice. He's like, and we've been listening to the radio because we knew we were coming close to the airport, so we just wanted to make sure, you know, hear if there was anybody around. But we're getting close, and he's like, dude, let's land there. He's like, I need 3 landings anyway. And he's like, it's just gorgeous. So we ended up doing a touch and go at Carroll County, took off and went back east, went to Baltimore, and he had kind of hoped to get this, and we're coming in on Baltimore, and we start kind of diving down below the Bravo shelf, And he calls up Potomac because we're, you know, coming up to the SFRA again. So he calls up Potomac, you know, we get our squawk code, we make contact with them, and then he's like, hey, he's like, can I get the BWI transition, direct Fort Meade? And controller's like, hold on a sec. So he hands us over to another guy at Potomac Approach, and the guy at Potomac Approach is like, you know, what are you trying to do? And we're like, we want the BWI transition, direct Fort Meade. And he's like, all right, cleared to enter the Bravo. Direct Fort Meade over 422. You know, so we basically were flying directly over the 422 runway at BWI. And this is the first time I'd ever done that. So this is like, Chris, like your Phoenix transition all the time that you get to do. Mm-hmm. I finally got to do that.
Yeah.
Which was the pictures that you saw on Twitter. Was us flying. We flew directly over Baltimore. I mean, literally, you know, we're flying over Camden Yards, the M&T Bank Stadium where the Ravens play. I mean, we're flying directly over the middle of downtown, right through BWI, directly over to Fort Meade. I mean, it was so cool.
So how do they have you do that transition? We fly over the ends of the runways, east or west side, depending on where the traffic pattern's at.
So what they had us do is they were using, and I'm actually going to bring up the Google Map thing that I did real quick. So they were flying guys out of 2810 and 33L and 15R. So they're their primarily their east-west runways. And they were primarily using the east-west runway. So what they had us do was fly over the shorter north-south runway. So we were basically 422 crosses over about a third of the way into 28 or 1028. So essentially we just held 1500 feet and went directly over the middle of the runway that they were using. So we stayed out of everybody's way. They were kind of going up and coming down to our left and right. And we just went straight over. So that's how they did that for us.
Okay.
So it's, you know, I love that, listening to the tower and listening to the tower guy, you know, tell a 737 traffic 172, 1500 feet, no factor, you know, so cool.
Caution, wake turbulence.
Yeah. So, speaking of wake turbulence, I saw an A380 land at pilot day. I got pictures of that too.
Oh, nice.
We happened to be at the right place when it was coming in. We got that and we saw a 747 land. So cool. But anyways, yeah, so we got that transition to go over. So it was my first time flying over BWI, and I just had a blast with him. That was a much longer flight, beautiful day. I got 5 minutes of stick time while he was trying to fiddle with a GPS he had that wasn't working right. So awesome. I honestly, I'm so glad I got to go up with him, because it got me back into being in an airplane, even though I wasn't PIC. Listening to him talk on the radios, going through the procedures of flying and the, you know, the checklist again, and just going through everything was so beneficial as a refresher. Even though I wasn't actually doing it, it was great to go up again, and it got me back into, like, you know, I really need to get back up. So I'm working on it.
Yeah, it's definitely good, especially if you've been out of the seat for a little while, to go do that. And with an instructor, without an instructor, either way, you know, good practice just to mentally prepare you for next time.
Oh yeah, it was great. So I'm really thankful to him for get me up again. Now I just need to get my BFR done and then take him up.
Yeah, there you go. I just remembered. That there was another flight I meant to talk about, and the only reason why it's specific was it was another flight over to Phoenix for one of the lunches at Qatar Aviation, and I took along my buddy Dean and then our other buddy Dave. Dave's a CFII, Dean's the guy who's got the 140, works at Honeywell. Anyways, so we fly over to Phoenix, and that was fun. I came in from the east side on runway 25. At that point, that was my third time coming into Phoenix. I did once landing on 7, and then the other time landing on 25. So I was prepared for whichever one they were going to do, because I'd done them both. And so they brought me in through 25. I love being vectored along the way, telling you that's why I think I'm going to have a blast when it comes to instrument training. I really get a kick out of that. And so anyways, the coming in and landing, no big deal. It is what it is. It was a lot of fun. I pulled behind an Airbus A320, I believe it was, for landing. He was on the parallel runway, I believe. But anyways, going home, so I get on clearance delivery and get my clearance and ground and so forth, and then get over there, taxi, and get ready to take off. So I get my clearance to take off. I'm heading down the runway, 60 knots or so. I pull back, and off we go. And I swear to you, within 10 seconds, I get Archer 4 Mike Alpha, right turn 330. I'm like, I'm barely 100 feet off the ground. And I'm like, right turn 330, yeehaw. So I actually said that over the mic accidentally. I forgot to let go.
You don't have to obey that instruction immediately.
They're just trying to get me out of the way of planes coming in and allowing other planes to go. But I wanted to. It was a lot of fun. I made my right turn, and I got to cut across all the rest of Phoenix Sky Harbor at pretty much almost the middle of the airport and head back to Deer Valley. So that is a ton of fun.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Love going in and out of Class Bravo airports. Nothing like it.
Yeah, I still haven't officially done it myself, have I? No, I've done it once, but it's been a while, so I don't know how comfortable I would be doing it by myself yet. But it was a blast, and it was actually easier than I thought. And if you play the controllers right, especially the SFRA, they're much more willing to do it because you can get the SFRA controller to do all of the paperwork. So the other guy, since he doesn't have to do anything, he's more willing to work with you because all he's got to do is just keep contact with you and just, you know, manage you. But, you know, he's already got the slip filled out for you. So,
Well, and it's funny up here. It's almost impossible to get. It's very difficult to get a Bravo transition in the first place. I've never had one that went over the airport ever. But just getting into a small part of the Bravo is pretty rare. And then even IFR,
you're talking Minneapolis, St. Paul,
Minneapolis, right? Mm-hmm. Even IFR, they will generally keep me out of the Bravo and route me around.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So there are no VFR transition corridors at all. We have runways going in every single direction, and they're always in use. And so there's just none of that.
It's interesting. Do you know where Minneapolis ranks as far as busy airports?
I do. I happen to check, and it is number 17.
Phoenix is busier than that.
But you guys only have runways that go in one direction.
They are parallel, but they're landing aircraft at different directions at each other.
They're not landing. We have runways that are, we have 3-4, 3-2, 6. I think those are the three directions, but I mean, they're all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, there is just nowhere that you can get to that doesn't have a runway, that doesn't have a plane landing on it.
Right. So,
we're not physically constrained by geography or the CFRA. So there is just no reason to just not say, yeah, just go around.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Interesting.
Cool. All right. Well, I think we are getting pretty close to the end of our allotted time here. So, before we finish up, who's got some shout-outs?
Oh, I do.
And Brad, you've got a shout-out.
big shout-out to Ron Klutz of Right Seat Flying. I found myself in San Jose a couple of weeks back. It's middle of June, well, almost June. It's June 20th when we're recording this. A couple of weeks ago, I found myself in San Jose and had a night to spare and was able to go flying with Ron, and we went to Palo Alto Airport and fired up a 172 and discovered it had a bad mag and put it away and fired up another 172. I think it was Ron's, one that he owns a part of, and with one of Ron's students who had about 4 or 5 hours of total time. And we took that thing up, got clearance with San Francisco approach and did what they call the Bay Tour, where you just fly out of Palo Alto, go up over past the Golden Gate Bridge, over the bay, down past Oakland and back. And it's a standard thing. You can tell approach that you want to do a Bay Tour and request flight following, and they'll set you up. And we got a Bravo transition through SFO, which was really nice. We had advection fog coming in over the mountains that we were flying above. We had, it was 45 seconds before we could contact the next sector. Actually, before we could contact the first approach controller after taking off out of Palo Alto, it was 45 seconds before we could even talk to approach to say, hey, we're here, you know, we're squawking whatever, and we're doing the Bay Tour. The young student pilot in the back was just completely blown away by all of this. He was like, sign me up. We had everything. I mean, we flew right above the Golden Gate Bridge. It was right out my window. We had the undercast from the advection fog rolling in off of the ocean. We had billions of planes all over the big iron all over the place. We got overflown by an Airbus 340 at 1800 feet above us, going 100 knots faster than we were. And once we got them in sight, because they were in front of us finally, we got the maintain visual separation from the Airbus. Like, yeah, that really won't be very hard. He's going 100 knots away from us, and
he's getting smaller and smaller very quickly.
But yeah, great controllers out there. They were really accommodating. You know, sent us through the Bravo. Told us we could clear. They could clear us through the Charlie over at Oakland if we wanted to do that. Just really easy to work with. You know, it's a little bit. The controllers here for approach controllers are a little bit more restrained, I guess I would say. I don't know if it's different workload or what the deal is, but it's a little different here. It felt a lot more relaxed, even though it was a far, far busier chunk of airspace. Had a great time flying with Ron. You know, he was working the radios and I was working the controls, and he was just keeping an eye on me to make sure I didn't do anything too stupid. And even managed a pretty decent night landing. So big shout out to Ron. You can find out what he's up to at his website, www.rightseatflying.com.
Very good.
Awesome. Chris, Mark, you got any shout outs?
I got one real quick. Just, you know, shout out to Mike Howard. That's the guy I met at St. Martin. He's a photo guy. You can find him on his podcast is JPEG to RAW. That's JPEG and then the number 2 and then RAW. I know a lot of pilots out there love photography as well, just like me. And he's got a great podcast, and he's got like over 800 followers on his Facebook account there. So JPEG to RAW is the podcast and Facebook. And Mike Howard, good to meet you.
Cool. Mark, you got anything?
No, I'm all good this time.
All right, and I've got two quick ones. Just, again, a huge thank you and shout-out to Corey for taking me up on those two flights and for giving me two excellent learning opportunities. I know we both learned a lot on those flights. And also just a huge shout-out to David Abbey and his mother. I finally got to meet both of them, and been a long time coming, and he was just a blast to hang out too, so just wanted to give him a quick shout-out. They took a lot of pictures too of everything. So that was awesome. Anyways, so real quick, why don't we go ahead around and just go ahead and let everyone know where they can reach us online before we wrap this one up. So, Brad, let's go ahead and start with you.
Sure. You can reach me at brad@inthepatternpodcast.com. And you can also find me in the Twitterverse, Brad Kane, Bravo, Romeo, Alpha, Delta, Kilo, Oscar, Echo, Hotel, November. And occasionally you'll find me lurking around on Google+ or Facebook.
All right. And Chris, where can we find you?
Hey, you can find me at chris@inthepatternpodcast.com for an email. or on the Twitters or even YouTube at CHOLUBAZ. That's CHOLUBAZ.
All right, great. And Mark, how about you?
Well, you can find me at Mark at In the Pattern Podcast, and mostly through Twitter anymore, and that's still Student Pilot Mark.
All right. And you can find me, John, at John at InThePatternPodcast.com. You can find me on Twitter at Pilot Conway. You can also, for the entire podcast, just want to throw another pointer out there that we do have a mailing list if you'd like to keep up to date with the latest episodes and blog posts. That will be on InThePatternPodcast.com, and on the right hand side there's a little sign up box. We'll just use it to let you know when there's new episodes and all that, so if you would like to sign up for that, go ahead. Also, for the entire podcast, like I said, you can reach all of us at podcast at inthepatternpodcast.com or on our website at www.inthepatternpodcast.com. We're also on Twitter and Google Plus as In the Pattern. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/inthepatternpodcast. Finally, if you'd like to leave us a voicemail or even text us if you wish, you can do so at 707-PCAST-01, and that's 707-PAPA-CHARLIE-ALPHA-SIERRA-TANGO-01, and we look forward to hearing from you. And I think with that, we are going to go ahead and wrap up this jam-packed episode 29 of the In the Pattern podcast. We'd like to thank you all for listening, and remember, make a left traffic, you're cleared for the option.
This and other great shows at the Aviation Media Network.
The Voices in Your Head.com.
Yay!
Nice job.
There was much rejoicing.
Yes. That was a good one.
Now I gotta edit.
Cool. I've got, I don't know how much of it recorded, but I think it.
Two All of it?
Well, I do. I mean, I guess I got 2 hours coming up on now, an hour and 56 minutes, so.
You're messing up professional.
What?
I said that sounded almost professional.